Morning comes from the Gospel of Luke, the 12th chapter, verses 13 through 21. Out of reverence for God's holy word, would you please stand for the reading? Hear now the word of God. Someone in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to invite the family inheritance with me." But he said to him, "Friend, who set me to be a judge or arbitrator over you?" Then he said to him, "Take care, be on guard against all kinds of greed, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of possessions." Then he told them a parable. The land of a rich man produced abundantly, and he thought to himself, "What should I do? For I have no place to store my crops." Then he said, "I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build bigger ones, and there I will store all my grain and all my goods. And I will say to my soul, 'Soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, be merry.' But God said to him, 'You fool, this very night your life is being demanded of you, and the things you have prepared, whose will they be?' So it is with those who store up treasures for themselves, but are not rich towards God." This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Please be
seated. I like having the screens and being able to show you some videos and things that are entertaining, but also some things that are almost parables for us. And so I spent some time on Thursday and Friday looking at videos to come up with a perfect one for you today. Alexis, will you show it to us?
The new law of evolution in corporate America seems to be survival of the unfittest. Well, in my book, you either do it right or you get eliminated. In the last seven deals that I've been involved with, there were 2.5 million stockholders who have made a pre-tax profit of $12 billion. Thank you. I am not a destroyer of companies. I am a liberator of them. The point is, ladies and gentlemen, that greed, for lack of a better word, is good. Greed is right. Greed works. Greed clarifies, cuts through, and captures the essence of the evolutionary spirit. Greed, in all of its forms, greed for life, for money, for love, knowledge, has marked the upward surge of mankind, and greed, you mark my words, will not only save Teldar Paper, but that other malfunctioning corporation called the USA. Thank you very much.
Great. Let me play among the stars.
Thank you. I highly disagree. I hope you do too. I believe that greed is not good in any form it presents themselves. There is nothing good about it. I would argue that love and sharing and generosity is far more important. I am fearful that in 100 different ways we teach our children more about greed than we do about love and generosity and respect and compassion. I'm learning that the most significant things our children or grandchildren or even the rest of us will ever learn in our lives is not taught in a classroom. Now, I'm not saying education is not important. Believe me, I believe in it. I spend a lot of money on it. I have 11 grandchildren. Just buying lunches cost a fortune. But the important things that they or the rest of us will learn is not how to balance a checkbook or the capitals of all the states or where the rivers are or even how to diagram a sentence, which they don't teach anymore at all, by the way. The most important things we will ever learn are not taught in a classroom. The most important things that will be learned, should be learned, must be learned, are taught around a kitchen table having a meal together as a family, or maybe at bedtime when mom and dad are saying prayers with their children, or in a Sunday school room where there are devoted teachers who are willing to teach the necessities of life. They need to learn about love and about sharing. I don't know a single classroom in any school, public or private, where a teacher walks to the front of the class and takes out a dry erase marker and writes L-O-V-E on the board and says, today we're going to talk about love. But it happens in Sunday school. Sometimes I wonder why parents, some like you, take so seriously their children's education, spend so much money on it, and then come lollygagging in late for Sunday school or not at all because their child decided they didn't want to be at Sunday school today. Have you not learned that the things they need to build a strong and stable foundation are taught from the Bible or in a church or at your home? Vacation Bible School. If they build a huge house, one to be envied by all the world, and it's on a weak foundation, it will simply fall. They must learn to love, and love means sharing. Jesus loves us and tries to teach us how to do that to all of his children, and the children need to know that. And I hope and pray they are learning things like hope and trust and faith. Things like a person is only as good as his or her word. One of the things they need to learn mostly is generosity. Some of the most unhappy people I know are people who have never learned the significance of generosity and sharing. I try to teach my grandchildren, and so do their parents. But how many of us teach our children simple things like the spiritual discipline of giving? How many of us try to teach our children about generosity by practicing it? If we don't, their lives will be severely damaged. If you get stinginess or selfishness or what Jesus calls greed, if you let that get into your spirit, it forms a horrible tumor. If you don't teach them about generosity, that's going to enter them. It forms this horrible, cancerous, debilitating sickness inside your soul. And I'm telling you, as a former operating room nurse, I'm saying to you that radiation, chemo, and surgery will not be able to save you from a disease called greed. Jesus, our Lord, opened the eyes of the blind, made the lame to walk, opened the ears of the deaf, stopped an issue of blood for a woman who had had it a dozen or more years simply by her touching the hem of his garment. Jesus walked on water, turned water into wine, and walked up to a grave and called Lazarus forth, but could not cure greed. There were occasions when he tried his best, but he just couldn't heal it. There was a man, had a great theological discussion with Christ. What must I do to be saved? And he said, you know the law. And the man said, I've always practiced the law. Jesus said, well, you're just lacking one thing. You just have one more step to take. Go and sell what you have and give it to the poor. And he couldn't heal him. The man walked away sad. Some people, Jesus just couldn't heal from that disease. Now, I've learned something in medicine. I've learned in order to be healed, you have to want to be. And some people don't want to be. Some people come to the operating room and they're having more fun than they did on prom night. And I've learned in preaching that some people don't want to be healed spiritually. They come to the doctor, they kneel at the altar, they pray and do the easier things that Jesus has instructed them to do, but they don't want to be healed. If they did, they would be. If you go to the doctor and the doctor says you need to have these tests and you need to do these things and you need to get rid of this or that, and you don't do it, you won't be healed. You got to want to be. You got to follow instructions. And Jesus said, share. Once he did heal somebody from this disease in the Bible, all the children are very familiar with him. It was a sawed-off little run of a man, Zacchaeus, and he had cheated. He was a tax collector, and he had cheated the people, had charged them too much, had taken their money. And then Jesus walked by and said, Zacchaeus, come down out of that tree. Go into your house today. And he fell in love with Christ, and when he did, he bowed at his feet and he said, I'm giving back four times what I took from these people. I want to be healed. A man who was eat up with this disease came to Jesus and he said, make my brother divide the inheritance. He didn't ask. He just said, make my brother divide the inheritance. He wanted his part and probably a little more. It's happened in lots of families. And Jesus' response was curt and bold and brassy. Who made me arbitrator in your dispute? I didn't come to be a divider, but a reconciler, because Jesus knew that this man was overcome with a disease called greed, and even if he had all the money that he could rake in, he was going to lose his brother, and thus he was going to lose part of his soul. Look in your mirror. Look and see if what's looking back to at you, you're proud of, you're satisfied with, you're eager to share. Jesus knew greed was a sickness. He offered a parable about that. But first, even in the Old Testament, it talks of greed. In Proverbs, it says, take care of all desires about money. Be on your guard about all kinds of greed. And then Jesus says this, pile it up. Your checkbook will be thick. You'll be as miserable as hell, and then you'll go there when you have breathed your last. On August the 16th, 1977, anybody know what happened that day? Annie. Elvis Presley died. He died at a ripe old age of 42. He had built bigger barns and piled it in. We know that on that day, August the 16th, 1977, Elvis Presley died in prison. The name of the prison was Graceland. The wealthy, wealthy, wealthy. But he just couldn't get his nest built. All that money, all that fame, all that estate. And he died lonely. Keep it. Save it up. Don't share it. Don't give it to the church. Don't give it to Christ. Don't give it to somebody who's in need. And they will name your prison something very nice, like Graceland. Jesus said to be on guard. The church has always known, as he's preached to be on guard of this deadly sin, and it's one of the seven the Catholic Church would call deadly sins. If one of these gets into your soul, go to the emergency room right away. There'll be at least two doctors that'll surround you, and they'll put you in ICU, and they'll give you the strongest antibiotics they have, but it will not cure it. You've got to want to be healed, and the way to be healed of greed is to give it away. Last week, I read Robert Fulghum again, Everything I Ever Really Needed to Know I Learned in Kindergarten. Any of you ever read that book? There's a long list of here are the things that I need to know that I learned in kindergarten. What's the very first one? Say it.
Share.
Share. The very first one. Jesus told this parable about a stupid man building bigger barns, and God said to him that night, "You stupid fool, tonight, this very night, your soul will be required of you. If you really want to be happy, whether your checkbook is thick or thin or somewhere in between like most of us, you got to share. You got to share. When we turn our hearts toward God, we'll find life, and we'll find that life is about relationships. Church is about sharing, about giving back, about being good stewards of what God has already given us. All Jesus is saying is out of your abundance, share. Don't be greedy. Ann Hammond just told me a few minutes ago that her daughter and others that she knows around the coast is safe and that they've not had a lot of damage. But a lot of people did have damage all up and down the Georgia coast, North Carolina, South Carolina, Jacksonville, Florida. Devastating losses. Devastating. I know what that feels like. My brother's house burned many years ago, and there was nothing, not even a toothbrush. All he had was what he had on when he got out of bed. My sister-in-law standing in a nightgown saying, "Whatever are we going to do?" But you know what? They had family and friends, and we gathered around them. And they knew from the get-go that they were going to make it because there were people who were willing to share their time, their effort, their money. As devastating as it was, they never, never were without hope because Christ was with them and all of us were with them. Things, as precious as they are to us, and they are, will not pull us through. When we turn our hearts toward God, we find life. All Jesus is saying is not, he's not even saying to us, give everything you got away. Go give it to the poor. He's saying, out of your abundance, share. Is it true that the one with the most toys wins? Or is it the one who dies obediently with arms outstretched to help others that wins? I used to read Uncle Remus. Anybody ever read Uncle Remus stories? I used to read Uncle Remus to my boys, and I did it in dialect. I can't do that anymore. I tried to read one to Lily Grace. It takes forever, and she doesn't know what you're talking about. You have to do that all the time in order to stay in good practice. I love his sayings. I've got two to share with you today. One is, be careful when you're getting all you want. Fattening hogs ain't in luck. And the other is, a mighty poor bee that make enough honey just for itself. Wouldn't you really rather share? Wouldn't you really rather practice the spiritual discipline of sacrificial giving? This is Stewardship Month, and I'm asking you today to commit for the next few weeks. Commit yourself and dedicate yourself to praying about what God would have you share with Christ and with His church. Amen. Our closing hymn this morning is found on page 157.